In the name of Jesus, amen. In these after Easter days, our second reading has been coming from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us of what is yet to come. And it has some frightening, disturbing things in it. And it also has descriptions of grandeur and glory. And it is a book written for us to have hope and promise. Because no matter what the future holds, we know who holds the future, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there is a unique blessing promised to those who read these words out loud and those who hear these words. John writes, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." This weekend and the next two weekends, we're jumping to the last two chapters, chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. So we've skipped over a whole bunch since last weekend. And these words remind us of how it ends. And the end is good. And we might even say that it's really not the end, but really it's the beginning, because it's the beginning of all eternity. And you will be a part of it. Everything the Word of God says comes true 100%. And so God gives us these words that we would not be unaware or unsure of what is to come, but so we could hear and we could know and we could remember. John writes, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Our God is a maker of new things. And we like new things. Kind of exciting to think about new things. New shoes, new clothes, get a new tool for your workshop, maybe even new furniture from time to time, maybe even new carpet. We like getting new things. We like having new experiences, provided those experiences are good ones. Seeing a new movie, reading a new book. We even celebrate newness. A man and a woman come together to be husband and wife, and we celebrate that. We celebrate that as a wedding, because the world has never seen that unique combination of personalities before as husband and wife. It's something new. And then if the Lord blesses, that union of husband and wife results in the newness of a child. We celebrate the birth of children. We like new things. One of the reasons we like new things is because they don't stay new. The newness wears off. Both things and people get old, wear out, break down. That new car we were so proud of not that long ago, maybe it's time to trade it in. The new clothes that we were so excited to wear, time for the garage sale table, or maybe just to be given away. The new carpet gets worn. Even the novelty of a new baby wears off. Babies are a lot of work. And they really don't care if mom is well rested or not. Whether the new thing is a thing or a person, the newness wears off. The thrill subsides. What used to capture our attention loses its luster. You can observe this with children. They get a new toy, and it isn't long before the toy is in the corner gathering dust. So what do? Get something else new. It's kind of a twisted cycle. We use it up, we wear it out, and then, I guess I got to get something new now. And it goes around again and again and again. The book of Ecclesiastes gives voice to this craziness. "All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun." Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. That's the lot of sinful people living in a sinful world. The reason things wear out, break down, get old, both things and people, is because of sin. Our disobedience to God, both individually and collectively. And that affects everything. You know, we get the idea that sin affects people. Sin affects all creation. All creation has been affected by our sin. You've got contamination in the soil. You have pollution of the air. You have the extinction of animals. Number one cause of extinction of animals? People. All creation suffers because of our sinfulness. And even Paul reminds us that the world's looking forward to that day when Christ comes again and creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption. Paul writes, "The whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. All creation is looking forward to that final day when sin and death will be ultimately destroyed." And that's the picture John is given in our epistle reading for today. He writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" God is in the business of making things new. And he's already started that. He's already begun that process. He's begun that process in you. And if sin is what destroys newness, what's God's remedy for that? Forgiveness of sins. And so when your sins are forgiven, you are a new creation in Christ. God's idea for newness starting in you, and which is beginning in you right now, isn't getting rid of your wrinkles or making you look younger. That day will come, but that's way, way far ahead when you get a new body. But for now, he's starting on the inside, making you new by forgiving your sins. And that's why Paul says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." God is working that newness in you, and the day will come when it's complete in every way. And there's no alternative plan. There are those who say, "Well, I don't believe that. That's not going to happen. That's not true." Everything the Bible says comes true 100% of the time. And so God has done everything that he could do. And so he calls you to confess your sins and to believe they are forgiven. But for those who reject that forgiveness, the Word of God addresses that as well. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Yeah. Now you hear that and you say, "Well, that makes it sound like you got to be good to get into heaven." And you hear that list and you're like, as cowardly, faithless, detestable, liars. You say, "Well, I've lied. Does that mean I'm going to hell?" What's God's answer for our sin? Jesus. And the forgiveness that is ours through His death and resurrection. God addresses our sins by sending Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. That's what sets us free. But for those who reject that gift of forgiveness, there's no alternative. God will ultimately give those people what they want, which is a life without Christ. But that is not you. That is not you. For you are here today, once again, to be reminded that you are forgiven in Christ. Even if you've committed all the sins in that list, there is forgiveness for you in Christ. We confess our sins and receive that forgiveness. And we pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. God is in the business of making all things new. And He's begun that in you. And part of that is what happens here this morning. May God grant us ears to hear, hearts to believe, and tongues to confess that wonderful good news. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.